Okay, I just want to let everybody know where we're headed over here. So, as soon as we're done over here with this part of the sugya, which is the aspect of cleaning off stains, that's this. At this we've been learning so far. We've been discussing what, when, and how, and where you can take off stains from your baguette. That's this first half of Melachas Malabin. We're going to do next is folding clothing. That's easy. That's a small little gemara. That'll be just the Maramakimus Bez Hashem. Richard will send out tonight, whenever, tomorrow. So the next thing is folding clothing. That's one sef in Shulchan Aruch. And then the next big thing is putting water on clothing. When are you allowed to put water on clothing? We're putting water on shoes. When are you allowed to squeeze out something from a stain, a spill, you know, like squeeze out carpet if a kid throws up or something spills under your thing, when can you squeeze it out, when can't you squeeze it out, etc. That's all the rest of this simon. So what we're going to have, as Hashem, accomplished in the next 2-3 weeks is we will learn through those sugyas, which are not in order over here. Those you'll see they'll be daf kafir alef, other places, and we will successfully, hopefully, finish the whole simon shin beis. We'll learn through the whole simon shin beis in Shulchan Aruch. And perhaps when we finish, we'll chazer. We'll learn through the simon quickly again. And then we'll go to Malacha of Schita, which is the beginning of this parak. And then when we finish with the Malacha of Schita, then we'll have learned just about the majority of the parak, and then we'll do a chazar on the parak. So we'll have gotten, hopefully, a shlemus in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Beis, and the Schita will have Shin Chaf, I think. And in the parak also, hopefully, we'll have a shlemus. We'll be able to learn through the whole five lad of the parak again. So just hold on, and we'll come out with something whole. Fine. Okay, so let's summarize what we've been learning the past couple of weeks over here. We have three Gemaras, and by mixing and matching these three Gemaras, trying to figure out how they all work with each other, a number of different halachas arise. So the first Gemara we had was the Gemara on Daf Kufim Zayin Amud Aleph, which said, you're not allowed to shake out a talis on Shabbos. The Gemara did not say what it is exactly on the talis that prevents you from shaking it out. It just says you're not allowed to shake out a talis on Shabbos, and you're chayav chatas as an issa deraisa. Rashi learned, and the Rabbeinu Chanan learned, that it's either dust that's on this talis or it's a stain, some other sort of dirt that's on this talis. And they say you're not allowed to shake it out, and you're chayav chatas. It's an issa deraisa of malabim. It's an issa deraisa of malabim to shake out a talis from dust, even though there's no water being employed. You're still over an issa deraisa. That was Rashi's approach to this sugya. Taisus and Rabbeinu Tam said that no, it's only a problem if there's water, towel, Taisus talking about dew, but likewise it would apply to snow, it would apply to rain, any of those things, any water-based material that's on your...
Snow is on top of the
bag? Yeah, I mean, assuming, you know, it starts to melt a little bit, you know, so it's it would have that problem. So... It would be a problem of malabin, and the reason is because then there's water involved. When there's water involved, and you're shaking it out from water, so you're effectively cleaning it.
That's the reason because water is involved.
So it seems, yeah. In the Paiskim, that's what it seems to be, because they
you're not cleaning it with water. I mean, you're
cleaning it from water,
exactly.
Right?
The whole
but that also no, not exactly true. There's because machabes has different stages. There's you add water to clean it, and then you shake out the dirty water. That's part of the malacha of mechabes. So this is more similar to the second half of mechabes, shaking out the dirty water. That's where that's right. Whatever. But in other words, as far as you're concerned, it's dirty. In other words, it's defiling your baguette. Now the last pshat, which I don't know if everybody got a chance to see, the Rambam. It's a whole different pshat in the Gemara, which the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring, but Mishnah Brewer brings down this Rambam. And in a way, the Rambam is the most true to the text. The Rambam learns Ham Asur Lanar Talos B'Shabbos is the way it says, which is you're not to shake out a talos from nothing. There's nothing on it. There's no avakan. There's no dust on it, and there's no water on it. And what we're referring to is a brand new talos that was just freshly woven. And it has these like stray strands all over it from the weaving, you know. So the weaving process, it was a black talus, and it has some this other colored strands all over it. And it's a part of the finishing process of the weaving process to shake out all those loose strands. It's the malacha of makab patish, whole different malacha, no relationship to malabim at all. For the Rambam, this whole concept doesn't exist. Shaking out, he learns a whole different Rambam. Shabrim brings it down in Sif Beis. When he brings that case of plucking off these piles or whatever it is from your filings from your sweater, he Mishabur brings that the Rambam says this halacha together, it's a problem of makom patish. You're completing the beged. And it's the most just geshmak in the Gemara, because the Gemara says Asr Lanai Talas Peshabbos doesn't mention what was on it, so Peter Rambam is very good, because we're not talking about anything was on it. We're talking about what was naturally part of the talus. And you're shaking it out, thus you're doing makom patish. So it's just another pshat in the Gemara. But as far as Malabin is concerned, we have Rashi and we have Tosis. It's either from dust or it's from water. Fine, that was one Gemara. The next Gemara was a Gemara on Shabbos Daf Kuf Memalef that talked about when you had tit, which is mud, on your clothing. So the Gemara said a few things. One thing it said is you ought to scrape it off with your fingernail. Another thing that Gemara said is you're allowed to rub the two parts of the beged together, as long as you're not holding the part where the mud is, that you're holding it from the inside, you could rub it together to sort of squeeze the mud off. It's like you had a big glob of mud and you're squeezing or shaking it off to some extent. Like Bruce Anon was suggesting. So Rashi over there says, why is it that you're allowed to scrape off the mud? Why taka are you allowed to scrape off the mud? Why isn't it mechabes? So Rashi says, ain kibbutz below mayim. You can't do kibbutz without mayim, and therefore you're allowed to scrape it off. So Rabbi Kivager over there already asks, how could Rashi say that? Rashi is the one that said previously that you're not allowed to shake out a talus from dust. So he holds you could do kibbutz without water. So why over here it's scraping off the mud? Why is that mutter? It's a big deal, there's no water. Kibbutz is possible without water too. That's the question Rabbi Kivager asks. Now, the Sharatzin gives an answer, and we'll get to his answer in a second. But first, let's just see the last Gemara, and that'll just put everything in perspective here. The last Gemara is a Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kufmem Amid Alf, which talks about you have a sudur, a handkerchief made out of linen, and the Gemara says you're not allowed to, it's very stiff apparently after it's been washed, and you part of the washing, the end process of the washing is you rub it in order to make it shiny and bright, rather than being dull from like the starch or whatever it is that they use to wash it. And that the Gemara says is also to do. Sounds like it's not an issur d'oraisa, it sounds like it's an issur d'rabbanan, but it is also to do. You're not allowed to rub it to make it bright. And over there, again, the problem arises that here there's no water involved, and yet it's still usur to do. So here, this is a question on everybody. This is a question on everybody that over here we see you can do kibbutz without water. It's a beforeish gemara. All you're doing is rubbing it, and the gemara says it's a problem. So here, Tosfos is already going to have to answer and explain why is it usur to rub this handkerchief and make it white. L'chara, there's no water. And now, as we see, it ends up being a steerer to this other Gemara that you're allowed to scrape off mud with your fingernail. So we have three Gemaras, right? We have one Gemara, you're not allowed to shake out your talus, which Lefi Rashi implies that you don't need to have water in order to do kibbutz. Lefi Tosfos, no, it's only water. You have another Gemara that you're allowed to scrape off tit with your fingernail, that older Rishonim seem to say the reason why it's mutter is because there's no water, so that would imply you do need water to be over mechabes. And the last Gemara is, before you don't need any water to be ever mechabes, because you could take this handkerchief and you could rub it and make it white, no water necessary, and you're over on the issur of kibbutz, at least the rabbanan. So we have to figure out, when does kibbutz need water, or does everybody agree, when does kibbutz not need water, according to at least Rashi, and when is it that everybody seems to agree kibbutz does need water, right? It seems apparent to be three cases. What are the differences? Now, the truth is that this kasha from the Gemara of rubbing a handkerchief in order to whiten it, is the kasha of the Shilta Gibarim. Shilta Gibarim, in the back on the riff, he asks his kasha on Tosfos. He says, what's Tosfos' problem? And Rashi, he said, Tosfos, by shaking out the talus from dust. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, says it can't be talking about dust because there's no water involved. So the Shilta Gibarim says, I don't understand. We have a Gemara right here. You're not allowed to rub a handkerchief, no water involved, and it's still a problem. You see, you don't need water for melabin or washing on Shabbos. So what's the problem here? So he asks this kasha. Mibayb Shrek. So the Bir Halacha addresses this question. Bir Halacha and Siman Shem Beis, in the beginning, he addresses this question. And he answers as follows. It's a little bit ambiguous in the words that are Bir Halacha to really figure out exactly what he's saying. But after just, you know, if you work through it, the beginning, the end, back, forth, his point seems to be as follows. The way he understands it is that in the case, he asks another kasha. He asks another kasha. He says, the Gemara with shaking out from dust gave a few tonight. It said you're only over if it's black, you're only over if it's new, you're only over if you're makbid. And this Gemara with shaking out rubbing the handkerchief didn't give any tanaim. It says you're not allowed to rub this handkerchief, it's white. I mean, your linen generally is white. Doesn't say it's new, doesn't say it has to be makbid, it says it's usur no matter what. So regardless, he says you have a discrepancy between these two Gemaras. One Gemara says that it's only all with all these tanaim, black, new, and makbid. And this Gemara says you can't rub this sudur no matter what you do. So what's the difference? So he says, I read you his language. He says the difference is as follows. V'alkarchem ishum. In other words, by shaking out the talus, you're not doing any action to whiten it, to clean it, to make it shine. You're just shaking it out from the dust that's on it. It's not called really whitening it. Unless you're makbid and it's black and whatever. But when you're rubbing a sudr, you're rubbing it with your hands to make it white on the beged. So you read this language, it sounds like the difference is what? What does it sound like to you? You're trying to accomplish? What the language? I'll read it again. What would this sound like to you? It says one, you're doing the oisa hatzichtuach biyadayim lahoyle lavninas al beged. You're doing the tzichtuach with your hands to make the beged white, and the other lashon is ena oisa shum puula satzichtuach. You're not doing any tzichtuach and cleaning whatever. Rak sheminare min haavar avok v'haavar shud lavi. Just shaking it from the dust and dirt that's on it.
You're directly rubbing it, okay, you're doing that specific action, the other one you're just shaking it.
So now there's no difference necessarily in the end product. The difference is the type of action you're doing. That's what I would agree with you. It doesn't seem to sound like that, right? Now there's one you're just shaking it, and the other one you're rubbing it. Rubbing is a problem, shaking is okay. A little hard to understand why it doesn't make a difference, but it gets worse because you go further. He said, you see, that's not really what it means. I'll read you a little further now. Hayetim calls that da'afilo das hamatirim. Even the people that are matter, in other words, Tysus, that says you're allowed to shake out dirt. Hu dafke be'ena oisa shum pu'ula klal. You're not doing any real action. Kiim niur ba'alma mina avik sha'olav. You're just shaking off the dust that's on it. Avol mechasches umeshafshef as a beged. But if you rub and you whatever that word means, the cloth, lahasir men aksamim, to remove the stains, kedeli yapoise, in order to make it beautiful, lukuli al meyesh akapanim isur bezeh, everybody will agree there's at least an isur involved. So again, his language is, shum pu'ula kiyim nir, you're not doing anything except nir, that's okay, but if you're rubbing it, that's for sure asur. So it would seem, again, what would it seem? It would seem the difference is rubbing versus shaking, right? That seems to be the difference. But then he finishes, and this is where things get a little rough. Then he says, now he has a problem, because basically what he's coming out is that you can, let's say your hat falls into the dust, right? So you can take it and you can shake it, but if you start going like this, you know, to your hat, that you can't do, because rubbing is awesome. Right? Even though your hat could be old, right? It could be your rain hat, and it could be white, you know, after a lot of use, or whatever it is, you know, it doesn't have any of these time. You're not makvid, you walk away out with it anyway, but no, rubbing, that's asr, right? Shaking is mutarab, that's the way it would sound. But then he goes like this, he has a problem because the Shulchan Aruch later says that you're allowed to rub your clothing with a brush, as long as the brush is not made from something that would break, like they used to make the hairs not from here, but they made it from like straw and stuff like that would break, that you weren't allowed to use. But if it's made from here, you're allowed to use it to brush off. And it says you're allowed to even brush off dirt, dust. So what's going on? Why are you allowed to do that? So he says, well, you know why that's mutter? Because it's old and you're not makbid. What's the difference? Here you're rubbing it with you're out using a brush. Says you're allowed to do that, but you're not allowed to be a meshafshif to remove the ksamim. So it's being very, very unclear, very ambiguous. What exactly is the difference? It's not rubbing, you see, because here he allows you even to rub. So to me, it seems like what he's saying is, you look at it a few times, you can tell me what you think, but to me it seems like what he's not really differentiating exactly the action, but he's differentiating what your action is accomplishing. Whereas he's saying that what you see from the case of the sudur is that you accomplished, you make it white, you make it shiny, you make it clean. Shaking off some dust doesn't accomplish the same thing. Now, if the dust wasn't that much on it to begin with, it was just a tiny bit on it, so then you're certainly not accomplishing anything. And if there's a significant amount of dust, apparently shaking it doesn't do that trick. It doesn't really clean it. It gets off some dust, but it doesn't really make it clean, versus if you rub it, and you really try to get rid of this spot, that will make it clean.
What about the sheet of the Rambam? It says that this is actually like part of the...
Then this wouldn't apply. Dust, that doesn't apply to dust. That only applies to like the fabrics that were still stuck onto it. That wouldn't apply at all. I'll tell you why. But that wouldn't apply. But so we'll come out then a whole different way to approach this halacha. We'll come like this. Again, back to the hat. Would come out that fakert, you are allowed to rub your hat, you are allowed to dust off your hat, you can even use a brush, as long as you don't really do a good job cleaning it. So, and very often that's very negay. You know, you put your hat down in a dusty place and it has a nice big ring on it, you could take a brush, brush it off like slightly, just to, you know, that it shouldn't be that ugly and that disgusting, so it'll still, it won't be clean, you didn't do a real job, you know, under a steam, and you won't get it clean, but you'll take off the edge, so to speak, off the dust. And that, he sounds like that would be okay, because that's the way he seems to be differentiating over here. Again, it's ambiguous. You can look at it, maybe you'll come out with a different way to understand this. But this is what he seems, to me, this is what he seems to be saying the difference is. So now, he then goes and says very similarly, to answer the Gemara with the rubbing off the tit with your fingernail. This is in a Sharat Siyan later on. And this is in, also you have it in your pages, this is in Ice Mem Aleph and Sharat Siyan. On Siv Zayin, when he brings down the halacha that you're allowed to scrape off mud with your fingernail, so he says, "I Rashi holds you don't need water." So he answers, "It's not a comparison to this that Rashi said you're not allowed to shake off dust. Because that cleans the beged, and that." Fixes it. Mashenkin kan she'ein erak shemeser hatit roishem halichlo chadayin nisher olav. You're just removing the tit, but there's still a stain left on it, right? So again, he's saying the difference is that when you're taking off the dirt, the tit, scraping the fingernail, the reason why it's mutter is because there's still a stain left. That's why it's still mutter. So comes out of Rashi, we have three things over here. If it's dirt on your talus, so it's usher to do, because you are cleaning your talus, but it's only if it's a black and a new talus and you're makbid. That's the only time we say that shaking it effectively is cleaning it. Otherwise, apparently, it's not enough of a difference, it's not clean enough, or it's not dirty enough, that you're shaking it should be considered you cleaned it, right? So that's the middle case. The middle case is the talus case. That's a case where it depends. It could be a problem, it could be not. Shaking it off could be a problem when, if it's makbid, if it's black, if it's new, that's when it is a problem, because then you're effectively cleaning it by shaking it off, even though there's no water. If it's old, no, then you haven't made enough of a difference. If it's the case of the dirt on your beged, the tit, you're allowed to scrape it with your fingernail. Why? Because the stain remains. No problem. Stain remains, that's not called cleaning. And the Sharasin explains, the reason is because once there's a stain in the beged itself, you need water, because that's the only way it'll get clean. So that's why scraping is not called cleaning, because it's not getting clean that way. By a talus that has dirt on it, shaking it taka makes it clean. It does clean it. You end up with a product that's clean. That's why it could be considered kibbutz. It's a logical approach. Okay. So over there, by the Mishnah, by scraping of the tits, as long as a stain is left. And lastly, by the case of the sudr, there he says, everybody agrees it's usur without water, because you're effectively, truly making this beged white. Whereas Tosfos seems to hold that even dust on a talus, that he disagrees with Rashi, even if it is new, even if it is black, still, without water, you're not really cleaning it. Oh, by a sudr, by this handkerchief, this pishtan that you're rubbing, that everybody agrees that you've effectively made it bright and white. So the bottom line of the Mishnah Berurah, the rule of thumb is, how clean have you made this beged? And that's going to be the halacha. That's not going to be the Mishnah Berurah holds the halacha. That's the way it works. In other words, I'll give you a couple of examples. Chalant falls onto your beged, right? Some chalant gets onto your suit on Shabbos. So you're allowed to scrape it off with your fingernail, but you can't do too good of a job. You take a knife and you scrape it off that well, there's absolutely no stain left, that's asr. So you're allowed to scrape it off, just don't do too good of a job. Likewise, you want to brush off your hat that fell into the dust. So if it's a new hat and it's black, so then you can't shake it off. If it's not a new hat and you want to brush it off, so as long as you don't do a full-blown job, you don't actually clean it off, you just like take off some of the dust, it will be mutter. Now, happens to be with brushing, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Bir Halacha that there's a minig not to use a brush. So you can use something else. But a brush, and specifically he says, is a minig not to use a brush on Shabbos, to a brush of hats or whatever it is. But you, fine, so you don't use a brush, so you'll use your sleeve, you know, or something like that. But you could do that. You could use your sleeve and you could brush up your hat as long as you don't do a very good job. You're not very thorough about it. And likewise, you know, shaking out, if your suit falls into the dust and you want to give it a good shake, so the Lefi Rashi, first of all, depends, is it new, is it old, and etc. But let's say it's new and it's black, so you are not allowed to shake it out. But if it's old, you could shake it out again, as long as that doesn't accomplish that it'll get truly clean. So normally shaking it out won't be enough to make it very clean. But you know, if you want to start going like this or like this, which Shulchan Aruch said is mutter, that will only be mutter if you don't remove the stain totally. So the bottom line with stains is that it's always going to depend on whether you're going to remove the stain totally. If you remove the stain totally, you're out of business, and if not, not.
If you shake it out, it doesn't remove the stain, then it's mutter.
I'm sorry?
If you shake it out, the stain remains.
Right.
It's mutter?
That is mutter, exactly. Yeah.
Even though you're shaking it out.
Yeah, it would seem. Yeah, as long as the bottom line is the problem only begins when the beged gets clean. That's the only time it's a problem. If the beged is not getting clean, it's not a problem. That's the bottom line. That's how lachal
amayis
over here.
The story is only if there are bottom if you're acting
at difficult. It could be. Yeah, it seems like that's not explained so much. Yeah, why? I don't know. Maybe it's considered clean already before, and just making it whiter is not already the rice. I don't know. That's not explained. No one explains that. I just want to give just an angle that once we have this whole view over here of the sugya, we can have a much better understanding of what's going on up here. What's Rashi arguing with Tosfos? What are they arguing about exactly? And you can say like this: it's a very interesting Bir Halacha. He brings down the Yerushalmi later on. The Yerushalmi says they had a certain type of stone gem that got foggy through use. And then the way you cause it to get shiny again, and like I guess even the interior of the gem became clear, is you put it into fire. And you held it into fire, and that caused it to become shiny. And the Yerushalmi says, Yo'ivra melacha d'iraisa melabin. Fascinating. Melabin with fire, not with water, and on a stone. So that seems bizarre, right? I mean, you're allowed to wash your dishes on Shabbos, it's not melabin, right? Anything that's not absorbent doesn't have an isser of malabim. You can wash the floors. You're not ever malabim. Malabim is only something that absorbs, that gets stained. So obviously, you do see that here, this is considered stain. In other words, the concept of malabim is that the beged itself has to get an intrinsic problem. Something that's on the surface of the beged is not really considered malabim because the beged itself, the cloth itself, hasn't gotten stained. That's the reason why Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi because he holds that there's dust on the beged. If you're able to shake it off, that means it hasn't really gotten into the beged, right? It hasn't gotten a real stain. So that, by definition, is not malabim. Taking off an exterior item that's stuck onto your clothing is not malabim. That's not malabim. Is only when it is the thing itself has absorbed a stain. The cloth itself has gotten a stain. Where normally the only way to get it out is typically with water, right? That's why the definition of malabim. Now, it can also be applicable even without water, as long as the stain is a stain that, like this case of this Yerushalmi, it's interesting Yerushalmi with this stone. As long as the stain is an intrinsic stain, it can be burned and burned out, that'll also be malabim. But it has to be intrinsic. It can't just be something on the surface. Rashi, the reason why he disagrees is that he holds that a black, new beged that's dusty right? In other words, I don't think he would hold the same thing with just a piece of chalent on it, because that probably would hold also is just a thing that's, you know, on the surface and can be flicked off. But dust on a black beged changes the whole view of the garment, and that he considers as a stained garment. It's now not black anymore. You've made it dusty. That's why Rashi disagrees with Tais. But that's the point of the disagreement, right? That's the bottom. That's the key understanding here with this whole sugya of stains. Key understanding is that Malabin is based on the concept that the item absorbed and became stained. Something about the item itself changed, not something mibachot stuck on it. Then it's just like washing dishes. That would be mutter. And that's why we have a problem. That's why this case of the linen handkerchief, so you're actually changing it from a dull handkerchief to a shiny handkerchief, so you're changing something intrinsic about it, that's considered cleaning. And that's why every time the Mishnah says it depends on what you're left with. If you're left with a stain, then you haven't done cleaning. You've just removed excess material. That's not malabim. That's fine. As long as the point not so much that, oh, the beged is still stained. I think the point is more that you haven't attacked the beged itself. That's why it's not malabim. You haven't done anything to change the status of the beged itself. It's still intrinsically dirty. That's why that's not malabim. All you've done is removed excess material. That's not malabim. Malabim is when you change something about the beged itself. You wash the beged itself. So just to summarize and we'll stop. We have over here, you look, halacha l'maisa, we could just look through these quickly. Number one, is a mutter, it's mutter lahaser avik min akaiva hayashon kushayna makbid. You're allowed to remove dust from your old hat as long as you're not makbid. The next thing is, but it's also to shake a beged or a new hat that shaleg, that snow or water got on, that's taisus. Then three is that even if it's not new, if it's or black, but if you're makbid, it could be. It's also, this we discussed with the last year, that could be all those things are just a, there's just a way to establish that a person is makbid. I'm trying to go back to that again. This is a bir halacha, that as long as the person is makbid, it could be, it's always aser. Number four, I mentioned before, you shouldn't brush off your hat or your clothing with a brush, lahavrish, with a brush. But you could use other things, but not a brush. Number five, you're not allowed to scrape off a tit or food with your fingernail if it's gonna knock, you're gonna successfully remove it without any stain at all, then it's aser. But vav, it's mutter to even rub it together, if as long as something will be a stain will still remain. And seven is that this doesn't only apply to clothing; it applies to a carpet too or a rug. You can't use a brush to brush out a stain from a rug, you know. If cookies get all worked into the rug, you can't brush it out. It'll be the same problem if you successfully remove them totally. You would have the same problem it would be usher to do on Shabbos.
Okay. You're always saying that even Tyson.